Micah chapter 7. I usually start in Matthew and work my way backwards, so. Micah chapter 7. And we'll begin reading with verse 18 of Micah 7. Verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue their iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." Now I'd have us this morning consider this one question. Who is a God like unto thee? Now sadly, the God that is spoken of in most places in our day is not the God of the Bible. That's evident by man's, I won't say lack of reverence, but just there is no reverence for God in this world, or even more so in the pulpit. No reverence for God. They speak of him as if he were one of the guys at work. Maybe a fellow lived down the street. They say things like this. They call him I even hesitate to say the good man upstairs. You've heard these things. They treat him, Almighty God, they treat him as a helpless old man that can do nothing apart from man's will. The problem is, we've brought him down to our level. Huh? I ask you, is that the God of the Bible? Is that the God revealed in Scripture? Psalm 50 verse 21 says this, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." We blaspheme and use his name in vain. Men swear and curse in his name. Huh? They lie. Men lie about God. Huh? They say he has no power to save apart from man's will. And in doing so, they make him helpless apart from man. Again, this is not the God declared in Scripture. We read, turn to Psalm 135. Hold your place, but turn to Psalm 135. And look at verse 6. This is God declared in Scripture. Psalm 135, verse 6. It said, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he." Where? Huh? In heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. That sounds like everywhere to me. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. You know, the God that most men speak of is nothing more than an idol, a useless a useless idol. Let me read this to you. Here, Psalm 135, if you still have it. Look beginning with verse 15. It says here, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Ears, but they hear not. Neither, listen to this, neither is there any breath in their mouth. You take away a man's breath, he's dead. There's no life in him. If you have no breath, you're a dead man. In the book of Job, we read this of Almighty God. It says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. There's no breath. There's no breath in their mouths. Huh? Back in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, we read that the Lord God, He formed man out of the dust of the earth. Huh? Out of the dust of the ground. And the first thing He did is this. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Apart from God, there is no life. Huh? That idol, it has no breath in its mouth. Do you still have Psalm 135? Look at verse 18. They that make these idols, what are they? They're like unto them. And so is everyone that trusteth in them. They're dead. Dead. Men aren't worshiping God. They're worshiping a lifeless idol. They're praying unto a God that cannot save. Men say this, He has no hands but your hands. What foolishness, huh? He has no feet but your feet. As if God needed anything from man. Back in Psalm, turn with me, Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50. In verse 7. Psalm chapter 50, verse 7. Here we read, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." Let's read on here. "I'll not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I'll take no bullock out of thy house or he-goats out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. The wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." He said, call on me. I will deliver thee. You're going to glorify me. And man's got that completely backwards. Huh? They have man doing the work and man getting the glory. Huh? But God's not going to share His glory with another. Huh? You call upon me in the day of trouble. Huh? I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me, He said. Me. To God be the glory. Not man. So turn with me back to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Not man's idols. Listen, the sovereign God of Scripture. The sovereign God revealed in His Word. Lionel, you said this, sovereign in all things. Sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation, the sovereign God of the Bible. He said, there is no God beside me. Huh? None so great, none so mighty, none liking for the perfection of His nature, None like him for the works of his hands. None like him for the blessings of his goodness. For his providence, for his grace, his pardoning grace, his mercy towards sinners. Look with me quickly at this passage of Scripture. I just have 4 points here. The first one is this. He pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He pardoneth. What does that word pardon mean? It means to lift up and to take away. To lift up and to take away. The Lord has taken the sins of his people and he's laid them on his Son. He put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he passeth by the transgression of his people. Over in Isaiah 53, we read this, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He bore our sin in his body on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're familiar. We love that passage of Scripture, don't we? He was made sin. Almighty God made his Son to be sin. Made sin. He took the sins of all of his people and laid them on the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath made him to be sin for us. He bore our sins and carried them away. Like that scapegoat of old, never to be seen again. Remembered no more. He passes by the transgression of, listen, this is a particular people, of his people. He didn't say the whole world. He said he passes by the transgression of his people. The remnant of his heritage, his people, his lot, his heritage. That remnant according to the election of grace. Those chosen of God, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, called by his grace. By the Spirit of God. And listen to this. Every sin, every transgression, every iniquity, forgiven, put away, sin put away. He passeth by the transgression of his people. That word by can also mean over. He passeth, he passeth over. In Exodus 12:12, God said, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night. I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. God's going to judge sin. You know, men laugh about that. Men just joke about that. God's absolutely going to punish sin. But what did we read back there? The blood. That's what he told. He said, the blood shall be a token for you upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let me ask you, are we deserving of condemnation? Oh, absolutely. Are we deserving of punishment? Who could question that? Yet, our sins have been put away. By the sacrifice of his Son. By his sovereign grace. Read on in our text here in Micah 7, verse 18. It says, he retaineth not his anger forever. Which leads me to the second point here. Because he delighteth in mercy. In mercy. Don't confuse that with another M word. Merit. That's what men talk about. Not merit. Mercy. Titus 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this question. Who is a God like unto thee? He who saved us. Not because of any good in the creature. Listen to the description. Listen to this description. You tell me if there's any good to be found in man. Turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Beginning with verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. This is what he said. And they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll not revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Does that sound like someone who can earn anything from Almighty God? My friends, there's one thing we can earn from God. The wages of sin. It's what you get when you work for something. You get wages. The wages of sin is death. Not because of any works of righteousness which we've done, but wholly and completely because of His mercy and His grace towards us. He's merciful. He's gracious. Scripture, He delighteth in mercy. Brother Henry read an article he had wrote here a while back, and he said this, mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Huh? What do we deserve? Wrath, death, eternal punishment. Grace. His grace. God giving us what we don't deserve. Righteousness. Peace. Pardon. Huh? He delights in mercy. Well, let's read on here. Do you still have our text in Micah chapter 7? Here's my third point. He will turn again and He will have compassion upon us. Upon us. Huh? Upon His people. He will turn again. You know, not only does He turn, but He turns His people. He turns the hearts of His people to Himself. Three times David wrote this in Psalm 80. He said, turn us, O God, cause Thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. He turns His people. Boy, if we're left our own way, there's no limit. There's no limit to where we go. And we'll never turn to Him. We must be turned. Our hearts must be turned to Him. And He does, again, just as He does the work. He's turned our hearts. Our natural response is to turn away and go our own direction, isn't it? Huh? Turn away in anger. Back in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman the leper, he went to Elisha the prophet for healing. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, and he said, you go and you wash there in the river. Dip seven times. And thy flesh, down there in the Jordan River, and thy flesh shall return to thee, and you'll be clean. What did Naaman do? Did he do what the servant of God told him to do? No. Turn to 2 Kings. Turn there with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings, chapter 5, verse 11. Do you have it? It says here, Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said this, "Behold, I thought. Well, how many times we've been guilty of that, huh? I thought this, I thought that. I thought surely he'll come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" What did he do? What did he do? Huh? Remember his servant said to him, he said, why not just wash and be clean? We're not there yet though, are we? No, he turned and he went away in a rage. That's what we all do by nature. Huh? We have no desire for God's word. We have no desire to hear his word preached. We're content to go to hell, huh? Until God's pleased to turn us. To turn us. We've got to be turned. His servant came to him. He said, if he would have, he said, "Master, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, huh? Wouldn't you have done that?" And boy, by nature, huh? If we could do something, get our name put on it, right? Huh? Maybe go build a gymnasium or a library and get our name attached to that. He said, "Wouldn't you have done that? Why not just wash and be clean, huh?" And he went and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like a little child. Wash and be clean. Look at 2 Kings. Do you have chapter 5 still? Look at verse 15. And he returned. Huh? He returned to the man of God and all his company. And he said, "Behold, now I know." Once he was turned, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Who is a God like unto thee? Turn us, O God. Turn us, and we shall be saved. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again, and he'll have compassion upon us. Compassion upon his people. Do you still have our text here? Fourth point. He'll subdue their iniquity. You know, sin is too strong for us to conquer. We might be convinced we could do something about it, but we cannot. It reigns over the natural man. Huh? We can't get rid of the influence of it. We can't get rid of the shame and the guilt of it, the punishment of it. But Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, has conquered it. Huh? He's made an end to it. He's taken away the sins of his people. And he's put all things under his feet. Huh? Removing the guilt of sin. Destroying the dominion of sin. Read on in our text. Not only has he subdued our iniquity and cast them behind his back. We read here in Micah 7:19. God's prophet says, Almighty God will cast their sins into the depths of the sea. Not just over a little stream. You know, you drop something in a stream. Isaac, you dropped a phone one time, and it was in about a foot of water. That was easy to find. If we drop something in the shallow water, we can dig around and find that. Listen to this. He's cast them into the depths of the sea. You know, a few years back, I was thinking about this. Our family, we were at the beach, and we were out there playing ball or doing something. And I had a pair of sunglasses that the boys had got me. Pretty nice pair of sunglasses. And a big old, and we were just in maybe shoulder deep water in that ocean. And a big old wave come up and hit me and knocked me over, knocked those sunglasses off. And whether I wanted to realize it or not, they were gone. We spent hours. If you've ever dropped something in the ocean, we looked, and never found them. I believe one of the boys, I actually think it was you, at one point said this, "Dad, they're gone. They're gone." And again, whether I wanted to believe that or admit that, they were gone. They were gone. And again, that was just in some shallow water. They were gone. Never, and we've been back a few times, haven't we? Never to be seen again. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. In verse 20, Jeremiah 50, verse 20. "In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for." Let me ask you, did Israel have iniquity? Oh my. Huh? But look here. "It shall be sought for, and there shall be none." None. "The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon, I'll spare, I'll forgive them whom I reserve." His remnant. God's prophet says this, again, here in our text, that He has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Huh? They're going to be sought for. They're not going to be found. And listen, He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." In Hebrews 10:17, we read, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." You know, I wonder this. If He remembers them no more, why do I keep bringing them? Why do I keep bringing them? Why can't I let them go? Huh? God has forgiven our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Huh? Put away. Never to be seen again. "Who is a God like unto thee, who pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of his people? A God who delighteth in mercy, a God who turns his people, a God who subdues our iniquity, cast it into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again." Well, quickly, let us look at verse 20. Here's some assurance of these things. Verse 20, "Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." The truth to Jacob. You know, back in Genesis 28, we read that Jacob lighted upon a certain place. And he must have been tired because he took some stones and he made a pillow there and he laid down his head and he went to sleep. And it was there he dreamed that dream about that ladder that reached from earth to heaven. The angels descended up and down on it. Nothing but more than had to be a picture of Christ, didn't it? Huh? The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God told Jacob, He said, "I'm with thee. I'm with thee." He said, "I'll keep thee. I'll bring thee again to this land. And all, listen to this. I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. He said, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in the truth to Jacob. And then we read his mercy to Abraham. You know, at the age of 75, God appeared to Abraham. He said, get thee out of thy father's country, from thy kindred. And he said, you go to a place which I'll show you. I'm going to make you a great, great nation. And by faith, he went. He obeyed God. He went. And later, God would tell Abraham to take his only son and offer him up as a sacrifice. And along the way, remember Isaac asked that question. He said, here's the fire in the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham breathed these words. He said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He'll provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, which we know he did, didn't he? Huh? That ram caught up there in the thicket. His mercy to Abraham. And the scriptures say this, Abraham believed God. Huh? And out of that lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. He told Jacob, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That covenant of redemption found in the person, work, and the office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise fulfilled. Truly, who is a God like unto thee? Pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of his people. He delights to show mercy. A God who turns his people. There's a way that seems right unto man, isn't there? The way thereof, the ends of death. God's pleased to reach down and grab a hold of us and turn us to himself. A God who subdues, who conquers the iniquity of his people. That's the God. That's the God of the Bible. Who is a God like unto him? Well, let me close by reading one more verse of scripture here. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 22. I think this is a good summary. 2 Samuel 7, verse 22. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I pray he would enable us to say the same. Huh? Who is a God? Who is a God like unto thee? All right. Brother Lionel.